Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Just a tiny sample there. Peter Sterling, award-winning harpist. He also had an extraordinary experience that actually set him on this journey and inspired him to play the harp. Hearing the angels sing, a true story of angelic assistance.
I was guided to sit and tune in to this high-pitched frequency that I was hearing. And when I did that, that was like the portal that I went through, that very high-pitched ringing. And I went into that sound, and then it opened up like a hologram to me, where all of a sudden I was hearing the celestial music of the angels, the heavenly choirs, and the orchestral, grand kind of symphonic, you know, like quantum symphonic music of the universe with the angelic choirs. It was like, oh my God, it was amazing.
You have an incredible story. All right, first, how did you end up in Sedona? Because from what I read or heard, the book, we'll talk about that too, you were there just kind of hanging out in a van for about 3 years.
Yeah, well, originally I got turned on to Sedona back. But by the way, it's great to be here with you, Wendy. Thank you for having me on your show today. And I was living in Colorado. I started hearing rumors of this mystical power spot in the desert southwest in northern Arizona called Sedona with these energy vortexes. And boy, I was so intrigued with it. And as life would have it, I met a guy. I was living in Aspen, and I was a ski instructor there. I was living a pretty fabulous life, but I felt drawn to, I was getting ready to make a change in my life. And all of a sudden I started hearing about this new spiritual mecca where people were going. And as fate would have it, I met a guy in Aspen who turned out he had a small cabin in Sedona on Oak Creek. And he said, why don't you go down to Sedona and check out my place? There's nobody there. So that was the invitation. And I hopped in my truck in the springtime and headed down this way. And first time I drove down Oak Creek Canyon in the spring, and everything was greening up. It was beautiful. It was a warm day. I was just overcome with the beauty that I was seeing and the majesty of the red rocks. And this was before the internet, so I couldn't Google it and find out about it. I didn't know what to expect, but as soon as I saw the red rocks, I was just so struck. And it was like I was definitely led to come here. And I knew right away this was going to be the next place where I was going to come, and the next phase of my life was going to unfold here.
You weren't really looking for angels. So when this started happening for you, what was the preparation? Had you done some shamanic journeying? How did you get to this point?
Well, I've always been involved in kind of shamanic pursuits. I talk about this in my book. When I was 15, I was going to school in Santa Monica. One of my classes was library, where I would stack books on the shelves just to get out of class. And this one day I was pushing the cart down the aisle, and a book fell off the shelf, you know, like right in front of me. There was nobody around. And I picked it up and it said Carlos Castaneda, Tales of Power. And I was just, wow, looks magical. And I started reading. I was just captivated by the story of the shaman Don Juan and Carlos and everything that happened. That really launched my kind of my shamanic pursuits, with like many people were affected by those books. But coming here, yeah, when I came here, I have done a lot of experimentation. I was a searcher, and I was always exploring my consciousness, doing shamanic journeys, working with plant medicines and psychedelics and this whole thing. I was very kind of multidimensional and open in that way and searching. But when I got here to Sedona, it was like the perfect environment, because this was like a kind of like a metaphysical playground. I had never experienced an environment quite like this. And going into town and meeting the people that were also being drawn to this area, you know, it was almost like people were like floating a few inches off the ground here, kind of like it was the very high vibration here. Something you could definitely feel. And I was very much affected by it. And then, as you mentioned, after living here, I actually got to live in that little cottage for a period of time. But then I received a message that I was going to go on a vision quest, and I should release all of my material possessions and acquire a Volkswagen camper van so I could be self-sufficient, because spirit, you know, I was listening to my inner voice. I had been listening to my inner voice since I was a young child, something my grandmother, who was a mystic, always instilled in me growing up, was, Peter, listen to your inner voice. Listen to your inner voice over and over again. And so I got pretty much in tune with it. But when I got here, I got a message that my life was going to change, and I was to get this van and be self-sufficient so I could follow the whims of spirit wherever I was being led. And I did that. And I ended up living in my car for 3 years and sleeping every night out in the canyons of Sedona, unless it was winter months where I would, during that period of time, I'd go over to Hawaii for a few months to escape the cold.
But poor thing.
It was pretty cool, you know. But go ahead.
I was just saying, of all places to go to escape, that would be my perfect spot, yes.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, where you live that kind of bohemian free spirit lifestyle, you get attracted to. These are all the spiritual happening places to be, and the beautiful places. So, you know, for a while I was making my circuit between Sedona and Santa Fe, New Mexico, up to Aspen and Crestone, yeah, and then out to the beach, you know, in California. And I just kind of did that circle for a few years and up to Mount Shasta as well, because a lot was going on up there. But but ultimately what happened to me was, during that time when I was living in my van, I was in a very intense shamanic, I would say, process. And I was doing a lot of healing and clearing of myself and doing everything I could to raise my vibration and, you know, activate the codes in my DNA to activate into my light body to, you know, my fifth dimensional light body. That was like the mission I was given, was to access the codes in my DNA, to awaken dormant DNA and awaken dormant places in my brain to become the next evolutionary step of mankind, this kind of luminous, homo luminous, it might be called, and activate the light body because of this ascension. And it's something I've been very much attuned with for many, many years, and still am.
Mm-hmm. What was the year? When did you finally start doing this in Sedona?
I came here in 1988 for the first time. Yeah, and I was living in my van from like 88 to 89 into 91, 92. But, you know, living in the canyons, during that time, Wendy, this was before cell phones and computers. So for me, it was very easy to drop out. I just had a 1-800 number, voicemail number, and a P.O. box. That was my only kind of things that tethered me to society, mm-hmm, and a bank account, you know. But other than that, I cruised. And back in those days, you had to make a call, you had to pull over and use a payphone, you know, on the side of the road.
Yeah.
So it was real easy to disappear. So I went in through the veils, and I slipped into a crack between the worlds that exist out in these ancient canyons here. And I just immersed myself in the tranquility and the silence. That was the main thing, because I was a meditator, and I had always heard, you know, be still and know that I am God. So that was here. What I discovered in the canyons was that there was this incredible silence. So I would just hike out by myself. And back in those days, it was not as many people as there are here now.
Right.
And we didn't have any helicopters or ATV quads buzzing around. So it was very, very quiet, and it was a palpable sensation. So I just sat in the silence and just kind of immersed and radiated in this silence that really had this strong vibration and energy to it. And when you get real quiet here, you can hear the rocks actually ring. There's an emanation of very high pitched frequency that these rocks emit. It's called the ringing rocks phenomena. It's very well known.
Mm-hmm.
And we even have a ringing rocks foundation here. So I was guided to sit and tune in to this high-pitched frequency that I was hearing. And when I did that, that sound opened up to me, Wendy, where all of a sudden that's when that was like the portal that I went through, that very high-pitched ringing. And I went into that sound, and then it opened up like a hologram to me, where all of a sudden I was hearing the celestial music of the angels, the heavenly choirs, and the orchestral, grand kind of symphonic, you know, like quantum symphonic music of the universe with the angelic choirs. It was like, oh my God, it was amazing. And it was really a before and after life-changing experience. That's how it all opened for me. It really emerged out of the silence.
Again, I'm talking with Peter Sterling, author of Hearing the Angels Sing, A True Story of Angelic Assistance. Okay, now the music that came from this, we're talking like right now, you recently got an award for your music. And so that was the outpouring from you getting guided, nudged, prodded to do your music. So let's, before we hear any music, how did that happen? What started it?
Well, you know, I was, as I said, I was sitting in the canyons, and I was all of a sudden, I was hearing this music. At first, I thought maybe somebody was in the forest playing a portable stereo with some classical music. But no, I realized that's not what it is at all, that I was hearing something of a divine origin. And it was very much like everything was in harmony with the sound I was hearing, like the rustling of the leaves and the trees, or the little stream, the bubbling brook that was flowing nearby in the canyons in the springtime there, or the bird song. Everything was in harmony with the sound. It was like this great harmony that I was hearing. It was very much similar to the movie August Rush with Robin Williams,
yes,
started, about the boy who heard the music in the sound of nature out in the field. That's how it was. It was exactly like that for me. All of a sudden, you know, I started hearing this grand sound, and then my inner guidance was like, just let the music take you away. Just close your eyes and let it be like a vehicle to transport you. And so as I was doing that, listening, tuning into this heavenly sound and sitting on a rock somewhere in the canyons, you know, I was doing it was like a Kundalini experience. And my chakras opened up, my crown chakra opened up, and I went right out of my body up a central pillar of light. I was taken up into the golden light, and I was just in this ecstatic, rapturous kind of experience, very transcendent. And then I was surrounded in this golden light and hearing kind of like the heavenly choirs, like, oh my God, it was totally a mind-blowing experience. But I was sensing there was something around me. I could see some faint shapes within that golden light that I was seeing with my inner vision. You know, my third eye was very much open on the inner planes. Mm-hmm. So I was like, what is this? And something was helping to guide me to adjust my inner focus. But as when I did that, they came into focus. And to my astonishment, I was surrounded by a flock of angels, cherubs, the little chubby baby ones. And it was like, oh my God. And they were playing harps and flutes and violins, just like you see depicted in the great Renaissance art by Michelangelo, Rembrandt, etc. And I had no, as you said, I had no reference for angels up until this point. I mean, I was doing my shamanic stuff. I was doing my Native American and learning the medicine wheel and walking close on the land, this and that. But all of a sudden, these angels appeared like messengers in my life. And they came to me. And after a while, very quickly, I discovered that I had a telepathic connection with them. So, you know, I was able to reconnect with them on many times and go on incredible journeys. This is all in great detail in my book. Mm-hmm. But they told me that my mission in life, that I was asking to be revealed to me, that it's all my vision quest for these years living in my car. And I was just going deep to discover something, because I was always told that I would discover something great. And all of a sudden, the angels appeared. They said, your mission is to channel the heavenly music. And the instrument you are to play is the harp. And this will be a very special music at this time of the, you know, the prophecy, the golden age of man, you know, the ascension into this new age, a golden age. And I was like, wow, because, you know, music holds the frequency and the harp has this magical quality. It's perhaps the most sacred instrument found the world over through great antiquity. And there's a sound that a harp can make that no other instrument can make like that. And the vibrations are so pure. It's so healing and has the ability to really heal people and uplift people and change their frequency. So that's the mission I was given. I'm like a, you know, I still have this circuit with the Angels very much connected. They had actually taken me up out of, and they show me, I was taken to a place where I saw the great luminous sphere of golden light that was just pulsating pure love. This is very similar to what people who have had near-death experiences report. So I saw the same thing. It changed my life. And the sound coming off of it and the emanation of pure love was just beyond description. So I have a connection to this source, and that's what inspires my music. And I'm like a broadcast, you know, I'm kind of a transducer, receiver, and I bring it these higher celestial frequencies that I can hear from the angels, and I translate that through my nervous system to the strings of the harp. And that's why the harp has this heavenly sound. It's, my music is known to be very angelic, with a lot of angelic, you know, choirs and lush orchestral strings. And the whole idea is that my music can close your eyes, and it is a vehicle. It can transport you to a new place in your imagination. If you just open your mind's eye, open your heart, and open your imagination, and this music has the ability to transport you into new, beautiful panoramas and celestial visions. I've received hundreds and hundreds of letters from people all over the world reporting this to me. So it is a true thing. Phenomenal.
Yeah. I can vouch for it too, listening to it. I went up real quick, the heartmagic.com, for anyone who's listening, the music page, The Winding Way is the most current one, actually recently award winner. And then Sanctuary of Light, the Magic Kingdom. I love the center of the circle. It's different. It's there's just something about that I really felt a connection to. And you know, everybody's going to have their own way of basically vibing with this, let's put it that way.
For sure.
There was a YouTube video that you have with Lilu, and this is where, and this has been 2015, I think, is when she posted it, but you were working with your harp, the traveling harp, the portable harp, and you're playing, the wind is playing it as you're talking, then the wind comes up. That was such a moment when you're saying, you know, you're talking about this, and all of a sudden the wind comes up, and it's, and you hear it. But to hear the strings and the wind, that was just, to me, that's magical too.
It's absolutely magical, and that's something that I discovered in my early days with the harp, because I was, when I first got my first harps, I was living in my van here, and I would often just play in the forest. And whenever the wind would come up, the strings would vibrate with the most magical sound. It's the wind harp phenomena. It's the Aeolian minstrel. It's the minstrel, but the wind is playing, like the muses, the wind spirits are playing the strings. And I've done this all over the world. I've done this at Stonehenge and in the Great Pyramid of Egypt and in the Sacred Valley of Peru, Machu Picchu and stuff. So this is and I've in the crop circles of England, and that's what I have a recording that I recorded the wind harp in a crop circle in England back in 2009, 2010, and I used some of that sound in the center of the circle CD that you like. From time to time, it kind of comes in, carries that frequency, but it's very strong. See, I do tours here. I have my company, it's Sedona Sacred Land Journeys, and I take my clients out into the canyons, out into the backcountry in my Jeep, and we go up to these high ledges and promontories overlooking the ancient canyons. This is where I met the angels, and I take out my small harp and hold it to the wind, and I call them in, and I play my wind harp over people and against their body, and it's an ultra high frequency harmonic. Every string is vibrating at once, so it's like white light. You know, it has the full spectrum sound. And when I play this over people, or rest the wind harp on the top of their head as they're sitting or standing there looking out, and it just vibrates the cranium and goes down through the nervous system. Or when I lay the harp across the body on the chest and on the heart, I mean, many people respond with tears and emotional release. And it's just amazing because the frequencies are so strong, they can permeate down to like a cellular level to help release stuck energy. You know, I work with the higher powers, the angels, and we just ask that, you know, anything that needs to be let go of can be just cleansed on this beautiful heavenly sound. And it's quite a beautiful thing to witness.
There are some places in Sedona I know about. My favorite is the Boynton Canyon area. I love, I mean, Airport Rock is beautiful with the views. And my experiences when I was there, I had animal connections and very, very intense and that shamanic type of connection. Have you had any special connections there with the animal element?
Well, of course. I mean, this is all part of our environment here on the medicine wheel. You know, we have all of our totem animals, our spirit guides, and the medicine that we each work with and carry with us. And of course, here in Sedona, we have a rich natural environment here with animals. We have bears and deer and coyotes and javelinas and rattlesnakes and tarantulas and all sorts of things here.
Hearing the Angels Sing, a true story of angelic assistance. Peter Sterling, my guest on Wendy's Coffee House.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Award-winning harpist Peter Sterling. The website, harpmagic.com.
What's so fun about being in Sedona, interacting with the people, there's this very, very colorful community of people, and everybody's having a magical experience here, so it's fun to unite with others who are also having the same.
What was so fun for me when I went there, it was the seeing, for the first time, Roadrunner. Because I didn't know. They were like 3 feet. You know, they're not the tiny one that I was used to seeing on the cartoon. They were
right.
Gorgeous, beautiful. And just, I'm like, oh my, you know. And then I worked for a small, short time at KAZM, which is a radio station there. And walked outside, right outside, there was a little water fountain. And in the morning, the animals would come and get a drink. So you would see the javelinas.
Sure.
You would see the wolves or the fox. I can't remember if it was a fox or a wolf. It depends.
Yeah.
Coyote. Ah, there you go. There you go. And so it was just so amazing, you know, being in that environment. And there's just a very special energy. Each person who goes there is drawn to, I think, where they're going to get the most result. I'm going to read you one of the reviews. The book, Hearing the Angels Sing, A Story of Angelic Assistance. Okay, this is from Amazon, one of the reviewers who said he traveled to Sedona. Okay, he said, the book got me to think that anybody can connect to their angels. I then got his CD, The Angel Gift Inspired by Angels Themselves. I flew to Sedona to take a private tour and listen to his wind harp on sacred land. I experienced divine love. Also, for the first time, I experienced the vibration of the angels. Tears of joy ran down my eyes as waves and waves of love from the angels flooded me. Okay, this is a review for your book and your music. I just wondered, I thought, maybe you haven't seen it, and you definitely need to know that.
Thank you for sharing that. I wasn't familiar with that one. I'll have to take a look again. But yeah, this is the work that I do. I feel real blessed and grateful that I'm able to, you know, spend my day here bringing this type of energy and light and healing to people, you know. So, come and see me. Come take a tour, Wendy. We'll go out. We'll take you out with the wind harp, and we'll have a phenomenal experience.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's just an extraordinary, I think, feeling when you make those connections, especially like when you were saying you didn't anticipate an angelic thing. It was, you were into the Native American, which is more of the shaman and very, very ground-based and earth-based. And here you kick out, you're going up into the light.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Wait.
For sure.
So
it was a personal revelation for sure. And very life-changing, very much a before and after moment. My life took on a new direction, and a new kind of vibration came into me once I connected with the angels. And I love to help others make that connection, as you just read from that woman. That's one of the things I do, is to help people get connected to their personal angels. I think we need them more than ever at this time. You know, the world in which we live is kind of a maze of trying to find your way through. Can be difficult and challenging, but really we have this celestial support, we do, and we can call upon it to help us to navigate through these troubling times that we're all living with. I think more than ever it's important to have this connection, and that's what the angels really endeavors for, of each to make that connection within ourselves to our own divine guidance, so that we can stay out of harm's way and chart a higher course for our life. And when you do make that connection, your life, the vibration changes. And I call it, it's kind of a state of grace. It kind of, things get magical and like synchronicities start to happen like on a daily basis, you know, and it's like, it's a lot of fun and it's very illuminating. So it's my great joy to help people to, you know, access this energy.
When you learned to play the harp, you got your musics together, and then you got the attention of a record label. So within 10 months after learning something that you really, you know, prior to then hadn't really contemplated, you've got a record label after you and supporting you. See, this is the kind of stuff that happens when people make that shift. So I want to go back to your grandmother, because this is also, I think, a real foundational key. That you had somebody in your life when you were a child saying, hey, follow that, do that. Can you share some of that?
Oh, I can. Well, my grandmother was very influential. My Irish grandmother, I'm half Irish. My mother is 100% Irish, and my grandmother 100% Irish. So there was a period of time where she was spending a lot of time with me as a child, helping out my mother when me and my brother were young, and she would tuck me in oftentimes and read me a story, or tell me a story, actually. She was a great storyteller. And but she would always tell me to, Peter, listen to your inner voice. And she would plant seeds in me. As I got older, I started to ask her about some of the things she was doing. As it turned out, my grandmother was a real mystic, and she was a soul traveler. And she was involved with Ekankar, which is a spiritual science where they use they do a meditation technique, and they focus on a sound, a frequency called the hue, which sounds like hue. It's a very high frequency. And this was the tone that my grandmother would meditate with. And as I got older and was coming of age at 14, 15, she started sharing more with me, and she would tell me that she would do these meditations morning and evening, and she would actually leave her body. She would go up into the light, go up into these higher planes, and meet up with other spirits, other souls that were there as well, and go to these temples of golden wisdom, golden temples of wisdom on the causal plane, where they would be taught by like ascended master teachers sort of thing. And I was like, wow, that's incredible. And she would tell me she lived in downtown LA. She volunteered a lot in her 80s, and she would just walk the streets, and she'd leave these little Ekankar books in the phone booth and on the park bench and on the bus stop. And she would tell me, Peter, when I'm just walking the streets in downtown, the angels are singing with to me. I hear the choirs. I hear the violins. I'm like, wow, that's incredible. And so she kind of planted the seed in me like that. And then, you know, some years later, then I had the opening here in Sedona where I too heard the inner celestial music and saw the inner light that many of the mystics and saints have spoken about.
I knew there had to be more to the story when you mentioned your grandmother. Just because you have a framework and you have somebody else who's also with her energy giving you a boost and, you know, just kind of opening that realm to say, here it is. And when you're ready, you'll be there.
Yeah. And I was very different than my other brothers and sisters. You know, like many of us who awoke like this were often the black sheep of the family, and the family's more mainstream or conservative. And we kind of have this opening. And, and, you know, it often comes from the grandparents to the grandchildren. You know, it skips a generation oftentimes and comes through. I found this with other people and their stories. So, yeah, I felt blessed to have her. She's still a big influence. I'm looking at a picture of her right now up on my altar. I have her little picture up there. So she smiles down on me quite a bit. And she comes to visit from time to time.
Well, you have other abilities as well, and I'm sure, you know, there's more of this in your book. We're just kind of glossing over. there's a lot to cover. Would you go ahead and play just a little bit while we've got you?
Sure.
And we can borrow your ability. Just if you would play.
I have my harp right here, so I'll just play a little serenade for a few moments so you can get a sense for it. Thank you.
See, that is so beautiful. That's Okay, so what is that from? Is that does it have a name?
No, that was an improvisation for the Wendy Show.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I'm so honored. That's cool. Hey, yeah. I also have a question. You said you when you were performing, playing your harp in the center of a crop circle, and there's one that looks like that circles of light on your page.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Was it different? Did it feel different as you were in the center of the circle?
Oh, yeah. So I was going to England for 3 years in a row, 2009, 10, and 11, and I was going with groups, taking groups, and being the harpist as we traveled to the sacred sites and the crop circles. And yeah, when I was going, the crop circles were quite profound. I had many major experiences in the crop circles at that time. But things have changed in recent years with the crop circle phenomena. There's more and more are man-made crop circles, and you can always tell the difference. There's a lot of crooked lines and irregularities and stuff, not as clean or precise as the ones I got to go into. But yes, there was a definite energy field there. And those 3 years, those three summers I went, I would take my harp and go out in the middle and hold the harp up and do the wind harp. And people would just gather around me. There's some videos on YouTube, you can see this, and they would be attracted by the sound and what our group was doing. And before you know it, I have all these people just laying on the grass, and I'm playing my wind harp over them and on their bodies and stuff. So I was like known as the guy with the wind harp out there in the crop circles, you know. So it was a lot of fun. That was a real special time for me. Love it there.
I knew somebody else who traveled and they took tours over there, and they said, you know, there's just no way to explain it because there's just such an amazing feeling being there. And Sedona has changed so much as well. The highway that goes through there now from Village of Oak Creek over to downtown Sedona, that didn't used to be there. It's like a freeway. So, you know, when you were talking about going out and sleeping in the canyons, whole different ballgame. You didn't have all the hikers. And like you said, with the helicopters and the pink Jeep tours, a lot more noise. Yeah. The Boynton Canyon, there's I can't remember the name of it. Oh, darn. The spa that's there now. It took them a while to actually.
Miyamo.
Okay.
Enchantment,
yes. It took them a while to get that done because they had so many setbacks with that because of that area being
that's
a sacred
true.
Space.
That's true. Well, that canyon, Boynton Canyon, is where a lot happened to me. I would spend a lot of time by myself hiking back in there in my early times. And that's a powerful vortex there. There's definitely like a portal into another dimension. And even the Native American peoples, the Hopi and the Yavapai Apache, they have legends of that canyon and how it is definitely a place of emergence of how, you know, we're living in the fourth world age. And when the people of the third world emerged back onto the surface of the planet after the great flood, that canyon and the canyons out there were places of emergence because the people were taken underground by what the Hopi called the ant people to survive. And then when the floodwaters receded, they emerged back after the great purification. And these canyons are the places of emergence. So then we have many, many stories of people reporting a very unusual phenomena of slipping in between like a crack in the world there and disappearing and going down into these subterranean realms. It's quite a phenomena for sure. You know, even with the growth and the more crowds, if you still get out, we still have very magical, beautiful experiences and have times of silence and tranquility and beautiful things happening. So it's still going on. So I look forward to when you come and get to experience that wind harp firsthand.
Oh, I tell you what, I'm going to have to play so everybody knows what we're talking about, a little snippet of the wind harp, all right? So,
okay.
Because that's just, it kind of sets the tone. The book that we're talking about right now, The Hearing the Angels Sing, A True Story of Angelic Assistance. Are you going to come up with another book? Because you've had all sorts of stuff happen since then.
Well, I've got two other books in the ethers. They haven't manifested yet. One is called Keys to the Kingdom. And this is the work that I also teach a workshop seminar called Keys to the Kingdom, which is all the kind of little codes and keys that I've been shown with the angels in order to open up the awareness, open up the consciousness. And one of the main things that I'm very good at is I'm able to synthesize a lot of different thought streams, wisdom streams, and show a cohesive unifying principle between all of these different ideas, like within sacred geometry, the harmonics of light and sound, the crop circles, multidimensional awareness, the chakras, and music and sound frequencies and things. And you can see how they all interrelate. I actually have about 200 images that I show when I do this 3-hour presentation. And it's a wonderful journey, and it's very activating, and people love it. So so I have the book version of that that I hope to produce at some point. And then my other book that's long overdue is called, it's a book about fatherhood. I have a 10-year-old son, and this is a book I'm working on. It's called Eat, Poop, Sleep. Basically a playoff of Eat, Pray, Love.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, yeah.
That's
so
appropriate.
It's my journey of fatherhood.
Yes.
Yeah.
One more thing I have to ask you about your art, because you have all these beautiful, beautiful pieces on your website and YouTube, and the Portals of Light, I think, is one of the ones that they're kind of like a kaleidoscope when you look at them.
Yep.
All right. So where did the art come from?
Well, the art was, okay, so this is in the book too. I've always been a stained glass artist most of my life. And I had a vision as a young child, and as a teenager, I was an apprentice with a master glass craftsman who taught me Tiffany style stained glass. And so I've always, if you come to my home, I have many of my pieces hanging in the windows here, and they're basically geometrical mandala shape pieces, something that I doodled as a young child in elementary school. And now as I got older, I created these patterns out of glass. And then when I came back to Sedona in 2012 with my young son and his mother, I knew I was going to get a new download, because my angels were telling me that something new was going to be coming through. Doing stained glass is very labor intensive, but I was shown visions of doing some sort of art on canvas. So I went on this kind of exploratory journey to discover, you know, if I'm a painter, how I'm going to do it, what medium. And then I discovered that I discovered a way to photograph my stained glass windows that are all, you know, geometric mandalas, sacred geometry, with a kaleidoscopic effect, put the image in my computer and spin it in this way where I create what I call crystal alchemy portals of light. And these images that I have created with the origin, it's kind of a unique synthesis, a fusion between photography, digital art, and what else? And stained glass, like stained glass, digital photography, and digital graphic arts kind of a thing. So it's unique. The patterns are very like 3D, 5D holograms. And within these images, you can see all sorts of angelic beings, ascended masters, and just all sorts of things appear in them. And I have a special glass that you look through that opens them up three-dimensionally. So I have these, and I also embellish these pieces now with crystals and gemstones. So they're crystal alchemy portals of light. I have them hanging in two galleries here in town. I also do my Sedona Crystal Vision landscape photography, which is because I'm always out on the land, I'm capturing beautiful panoramas with my camera. And I have those printed out large format and mount them to wooden panels and embellish them with crystals and gems too. And those are hanging in the galleries here as well. And I have a home showroom in my house where I invite guests to come into my home and see where I make the art and have a whole experience here at my house. And hopefully, Wendy, when you come, you can come over for a visit.
That's amazing. Yeah, I saw on one of the YouTube videos, you switched the point of reference for the piece of art, and you could see the crystals that were embedded mm-hmm. into the piece of art. Plus, that adds a different energy. So whoever's working with stones or gemstones,
yep.
you know, that kind of thing, then they can have yep. those as an accessory.
Yeah, that's what the angels explained to me. Like, I put a layer of quartz crystal powder over the whole piece, so you're actually looking. You're looking at the image, you're kind of looking through a crystal lens, and that's part of how they open up into these kind of
wow.
5D holograms. Yeah.
It's all part
of the alchemy.
Okay. Yeah. That's a completely different mm-hmm. way of doing it.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I'm the only one that I've seen do this. Kind of unique.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
One is good.
Hey, I got angels. Okay, I got angels.
Yes, yeah. The website for people to check out, harpmagic.com. And perfect. Of course, you've got music, you've got art, you've got the possibility for somebody to take a guided tour and go out into the canyons and maybe sit on the rock that you guys were on with Lilo, and that's the Submarine Rock, which,
yes,
beautiful view, just incredible.
Amazing spot, for sure.
So beautiful. Is there anything you want to add before we sign off?
Well, I just, my motto, my theme for this year is, and I send this to you, Wendy, and all of your listeners here today, may all your dreams come true in 2022. That's my wish for you.
Perfect. I'll take it.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Peter Sterling. Check out the website, harpmagic.com, and follow up and listen to some of those songs. They're absolutely beautiful. It's mesmerizing. You just feel so good. It's a nice warm buzz. I already have a blog post, and that's on Wendy's Coffee House, the Talking to Nightlights blog. And we'll close it out with a sample of the wind harp we were talking about. HarpMagic.com. Thanks for listening.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.